It's here and now, and now we want to go on stage. Our look at what's happening across the country, from Renaissance fairs to marching band competitions to celebrations of tap. That's a tap dancing flash mob in Balboa Park in San Diego. Before that, we heard the Jerk dance group tap dancing at the Andy Williams Moon River Theater in Branson, Missouri. And we started with sound from the Downtown Dance Festival in Battery Park, Manhattan. And tomorrow night, the 1920s-inspired Harlem Nights in Chicago, featuring a speakeasy, a soiree, a murder mystery, and tap dancing, period dress required. The Chicago dance group Mad Rhythms, mad as in making a difference dancing, will perform. Founder and director Brill Barrett joins us from WBEZ in Chicago. Brill, we want to hear more. A soiree?
Well, definitely. I think, you know, it's for people who are, you know, they don't want to do the traditional Halloween dress up, go out. This speaks to people who may be into the 1920s, the 30s, 40s, the times when speakeasies and bootleggers and all of that stuff, you know, was popular. And of course, tap dancing was just getting popular at that same time. So I'm fortunate and honored to be presenting tap dance as part of that event, because you don't see tap dance in Halloween parties very often.
Very often. But you're right. When you think of the 1920s, you do think, the Roaring Twenties, yeah, you do think of tap dancers. For instance, we understand you'll be performing to songs like Ella Fitzgerald's It Don't Mean a Thing. Let's listen.
Yeah.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't that swing. Do I, it don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. Do I.
Are your feet moving?
Exactly. Under the desk right now, my feet, they started going as soon as it came on.
Tell us about MADD, M-A-D-D, Making a Difference Dancing.
Well, MADD Rhythms, and again, yes, MADD is M-A-D-D, it's tap dance, has been the vehicle that made a difference in my life. I could have easily ended up a statistic or went down the wrong path because of my family's lack of financial means or the neighborhood I grew up in. But the art of tap dance, when I was exposed to it, I grew to love it, and it made a difference in how I interpret the world and rhythm and all of those things. So I felt it was my duty to create an entity or a company that could turn around and do the same thing, make a difference in the lives of people just by way of the tap dance itself, but also by doing a lot of community work to expose young people who might not otherwise be exposed to this great art form.
Here's a little of a sound of a recent performance at Malcolm X College in Chicago. I love the sound of tap. I just love it. Again, your feet are moving, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Well, what we're seeing here, five people, men and women, standing on stage facing each other, their feet going like crazy. What is there? Is this sort of like a tap-off? What's happening there?
We call it the cipher, but part of the history of tap dance is this thing called the challenge. And everybody knows, if you've ever seen some of the older musicals, there's always a tap-off, but a challenge. there's an old Bill Cosby from The Cosby Show where Bill Cosby challenges Sandman Sims to a tap-off.
Challenge!
And it's the funniest thing you have ever seen. But yeah, so when you see dancers in a semicircle, it's representative of the art form and how the challenge or one-upping each other is part of the way we learn and grow and the way we vibe with one another.
Yeah. And do these young people know about, you know, you mentioned one iconic tapper, but the modern day, Savion Glover and the younger ones, do they know about them?
Yeah, well, we make it a point in teaching tap to truly teach the culture and the history of the dance. Because to really understand tap, you have to know where it came from. You have to know the highs and the lows. And I think it fosters an appreciation that then you take into your artistic endeavors and add to it. So, you know, most of them know about Savion Glover, but we want to make sure they know also about Gregory Hines and the Nicholas Brothers. And Lon Chaney and Dr. Jimmy Slade and, you know, the hoofers that created the art form that came before us.
Yeah. William Henry Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Known
Master
as
Juba.
Uh-huh. Well, we have a Sound of a Class you helped organize in an event people know about well there, the Chicago Tap Summit. Let's listen. What we're seeing here is a room of about a dozen students all tapping, clapping, and you do tap programs in Chicago schools as well. How do they react?
Oh, you know what's funny? It's great now, but in the beginning it was a lot of, because most young people weren't exposed to tap. They didn't think it was cool. They didn't see it on a regular basis. So because of that, they didn't want to do it. So we were connected historically to other things that they may know. Like in Chicago, footworking is extremely popular because it was created in Chicago. But tap dancing is a predecessor to footworking. So by connecting it, we got a lot of young people into it. And now it's a lot easier because there's a culture of young people that know about tap. And like one of the places we teach on the west side of Chicago, the Better Boys Foundation, the children there all strive to be old enough to move up to the tap program, which we do for the teens there.
Well, but you're competing with, you know, juking, you know, other dance genres, you know. Do you feel that? Or do you, maybe somebody into juking would also take up tap?
Yeah, well, and that's the first thing. A couple of years back, I did this thing called the Juke Tap Project, and it was literally juking or footworking to juke music, but teaching those footworkers how to tap. And the funny thing is, like, there's one member of my company. Her name is Donetta Jackson. They call her Lil Bit. She's a tap dancer, but she's also part of the Footwork Kings, which is a footwork group. So she's like our bridge. So in a lot of performances, we have her footwork and the kids go crazy. And then she then tells them that it was easy for her to learn footwork because she was a tap dancer. And they go, whoa.
Now you've got them. But we should explain juking. I mean, you're up on the balls of your feet, but maybe your knees bent in a back bend. I mean, how would you describe juking?
Well, it's similar to what we do with tap dancing. So juking and footworking, it's very fast foot movement. And the rhythms, to me, it sounds like tap dancing without tap shoes.
Yeah.
Like they're making rhythms, and it's basically legs. The upper body does very little, and it's a lot of fast movement and intricate rhythms. They're just not making tap sounds. So I always used to say, I think if you put tap shoes on footworkers, you'll get tap dancing.
I love that we can have Ella Fitzgerald and juking in the same conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, scatting, juking, I think these are all words that were created to describe the way people can interpret rhythm. Like, you know, there's one thing of holding time, which is just 1, 2, 3, 4. But then tap dancing, where is shaka-duka-daka-shaka-duka-duka-da, which is not much different than Ella Fitzgerald scatting over a jazz track or footworkers juking on top of a heavy bass hit.
Yeah. Tap dance is a voice.
Definitely. Yeah.
Brill Barrett, founder of the group Mad Rhythms, they're going to be performing tomorrow night at the Harlem Nights, kind of Halloween night, everybody dressed up in 1920s flapper attire.
Yeah.
Event at Ivy Chicago. For more, go to hereandnow.org. Brill, have a blast. Thank you.
Thank you.